The Discovery and Practice of Lowbrow Art. Years ago, in my art adventures, I'd put on the classy Coralie Clément and drive to the biggest bookstore I found. Looking at pencil drawing tutorials taught me the importance of creating art books, and looking through reference graphics for designers was as abstract and random as fascinating. I thumbed through thick books filled with stickers, logos, and doodles. That one was amazing. I wasn't looking for anything in particular, so I started in the beginning. Week after week, I'd inspect new art books, sometimes new arrivals even. And eventually, as things have it, I found an art book with lowbrow art, or pop surrealism. This was not a happy moment for me. Pop surrealism is on another level. Seeing the beauty of realism taken to cartoons and actually made better somehow was devastating for me. I feel like that day, lowbrow broke my heart in a sweet surrealist way. I couldn't do anything like it. I couldn't even move oils like that. And I certainly have not been ready to witness anything that beautiful and fascinating. Even hours ago, the eyes I drew on my new Mona Lisa were tiny compared to what I actually needed. And this very hour, I discovered that I needed to resize her body down to almost the size of her fancy head. I am still being changed, still being taught this silly magic of surrealism. I must have laughed 4 times at my Mona Lisa, and I took several trips to the computer just to look at the screen again. I'm laughing right now. That forehead is perfect. And I just brightened up her eyes, apparently enough to stare into people's souls. That's art. That's my kind of art. Funny as heck. My grandma had a neat framed copy of Lady with an Ermine in her living room. The original is in a Polish museum about 3 hours away. From my youngest age, I used to wonder about it. I never got over how ferocious and muscular that animal is. I suspect that painting is the reason why squirrels make me so happy today. I'll try learning with that one as well. With 2 or 3 celebrity portraits, and maybe a self-portrait or two, I could open up a little online store and take requests to further push my practice forward. Where learning to paint does not benefit from tracing, and is best done freehand by only looking at a reference photo, custom portraits benefit from keeping as close as possible to the original, and that is also more reliable and faster. At $25 or $50 per digital portrait, it is a fun way to build a mighty portfolio. The customer can then request that a local print shop prints it out on glossy paper and have it framed. This completely eliminates shipping and workmanship problems. Every little hobby leads to some interesting little way to make a dollar or two. It also opens up the opportunity to create speed painting or time-lapse advertising videos, where you could then offer their full versions with a tutorial commentary for a fee. I think that's a really fine idea, and it is fair to charge your customers for an instructional video. And of course, you can also create an art book that would make someone browsing books at the local bookstore pause and daydream for a little while. And beyond that, what sells for $25 can probably make $250 if you co-found a small company with other artists. A purely digital remote job hub for digital artists, where you can even train people how to create art, and where they, in turn, can sharpen their skills for money. The point of art is not money, though. Art is about expanding your creativity with magnificent practice. Art makes you stronger in all the other things you do. And what is more, art makes you laugh.